All right, let's all stand. We're going to take our hymn books, turn to hymn 341. Hymn 341, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. Hymn 341, let's sing it out on Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me. I heard about a mansion. I heard about a mansion. It's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Sing it out. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to flood. Thank you. Maybe seated.
All right. Nope. Stand back up. Ready? We're gonna sing the chorus, and the youth are doing their thing, but the adults are asleep. I know why, because we got all that meat in our bellies. So I'm gonna have Brother Wiggins come back, and I want the adults this time to show us sold. Praise God. Everybody got it? Good. But we'll just keep. No, we won't keep singing. Go.
I will point to you, sold, all right? It's like an auctioneer. Here we go. Ready? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought. Here it is. With His redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I'm not sure if you can be seated or not.
Yeah, please be seated. It is good to have Brother Eddie Johnson with us. He preached for us in Sunday school this morning. And Brother Eddie Johnson was the pastor of Grayson Bible Baptist Church in Sherman for 20 years and retired, so-called retired, and then took an interim pastorate in Gainesville, and now has been there 3 years. So that interim has become, he's the pastor. But he was the pastor of the Grace of Bible Baptist Church in Sherman, where we were started out of. So we were a mission out of that church, and so he's my pastor. I'm going to have him come just give a brief testimony, and he's already made fun of me about making it a brief. Brother Johnson, we won't say what Miss Johnson's age. How old are you? 75 years old. I say that. Thank you, Brother Cox. I appreciate not only being my pastor, but to remain faithful and continue in the work. It's awesome. I'm so blessed.
Okay. Well, all these microphones has called me up. I thought sure I'd get to sing. Because the singers get all the long allotted time, you know. I can go ahead and do it? Good. I better not. There wouldn't be nobody left for you. Well, it's a great day. Amen. Yeah, 15 years, and what a day it's been. One writer said this, and of course his brother Eric was speaking about it this morning while he was preaching. The church is never a place, but it's always a people. It's never a fold, but always a flock. It's never a sacred building, but it's always a believing assembly. And, you know, the church is, as we look at it today, it's a marvelous thing. You sit here today in this sanctuary and you're enjoying it, but 15 years ago, it was just a little bit different story. And as it's already been said, of course, the guys and Brother Crawford were wanting to start a church, and so he called me, and I said, well, I'd need to talk with the men. And so we set up a meeting, and I met with them in Cracker Barrel. And I knew Brother Crawford. I'd watched him and observed him as his love for the Lord as he was developing as a teenager in Bowie and then in high school. And, of course, then he was at Norris. And then, of course, he came and had counsel with my wife, and she counseled him to go ahead and take the church in Nocona, and so they did that. And I also knew him while he was working for Brother Gantz across town from us. We were in Bible Baptist Church in Bowie, and they were working over at Calvary Baptist there in Bowie as well. And then, you know, we got to know Tanya. And as we did, you know, we seen that she was working along beside him, not just at the church, but at the cabinet shop.
Yeah.
She probably didn't think I remember that. But anyhow, Eric was working part-time at the cabinet shop out there for a friend of ours, Paul Payton. And I'd go out there sometimes, and she'd be out there helping Eric run those door parts and things of this nature. But that morning, I met with the men in Denton at the Cracker Barrel. I felt with them as the same that I felt with Brother Eric, that they had a faith as big as God. And that they were going to accomplish great things and a deep desire to build a New Testament church. But I also was concerned because we were at Grayson Bible Baptist Church. We were going to put our name on it and we were going to stand behind them. And I told them, I said, this is an old church. It's got a great heritage. Our church came out of a disaster in Sherman, Texas in 1931. In 1929, there had been a situation there, and a man had been accused of raping a woman, and he was put in the county jail, and they decided that they were going to lynch him. And so they put him then in the vault down in the basement so as that they could keep him safe. Well, they burnt the courthouse down and burnt him in the vault. They took him out of the vault and put a rope around him and drug him all over town. But there was a man that said, you know, that church needs a good, strong, fundamental, independent Baptist church. And his name was John R. Rice. And he left Waxahachie, Texas, and came to Sherman. By this time, the courthouse had been cleared off, and he began a 122-day revival there. And out of that, there were 250 people saved. And he started at that time the old Fundamental Baptist Church. And later it was changed to Central Baptist Church. And then even later it was changed to Grayson Bible Baptist Church. And so I told them, I said, this church has got a great heritage. It stood for a lot. It's went through a lot. And you're going to have to understand that if you want to start a church, you'll have to maintain that integrity. And they agreed to that. And everything that I told them, they agreed to, and I could see not only Eric wasn't there, Brother Crawford wasn't there. Y'all have to forgive me. He's still a young guy, you know. Now, Brother Kelly's a different thing. He's an ancient guy like me. Yeah. But anyhow, so we sat there that morning, and we had a good time together, and we talked very straight about what I expected of them and what I wanted them to do for their pastor and things of this nature. And I felt in my mind one scripture that came to my mind, and it was out of Psalm 69:11. In John chapter 2 and verse number 17, it was applied to the Savior. But it says this, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And I could see, or I felt in my heart, that they really wanted to do something for the Lord. And I knew that was Brother Crawford's will. And so today you sat in this sanctuary and you're enjoying everything that was there. But as Brother Crawford and the men put together, you saw the little storefront that they started in. And you saw them putting up the walls. Of course, I've been in and out of the church for special days and occasions and visits and all different kind of things, sometimes just to come and see how things were. But, and I would see then in those days, you know, I'd come back and they were still just as excited then as they were the day that I met with them and Denton. And I'd come and there'd be a new wall put up. There'd be tile on the bathroom floors. They made a new junior church room, and it was all fixed up, and it was pretty. I don't know if you remember that or not, Brother Eric. They always had some of the neatest junior churches that I've ever been around, and all the trimmings that went with it. And they were always excited about what God was doing. And if I'm not mistaken, help me here. Sometimes my memory's not the best on everything. But if I remember correct, wasn't there some place along the line there that they turned a closet into you an office?
They turned a walk-in freezer into my office.
A walk-in freezer. I was trying to remember that.
It was 7 by 11 by 7. No window.
That way they could contain him. But anyhow, it was a great time as we saw the Lord working in the church. And it was miracles, just miracle after miracle. That how God worked and how that everything, and like it was said this morning, them getting this property and then finding out that they had the mineral rights to it as well, God just did miracles. And you know, and if you've never been in a church where those things happened, you just don't understand it. Now, many of you, or at least some of you, are new. You've come in and you see the finished product. You see the new building that's going up. You've heard about the building there. You've heard about this one. Maybe you were here when this one was completed, and now this one over here. But I remember when it wasn't nothing but just a plot of ground. But there was a vision. And that vision wasn't just a little bitty building. It wasn't a little building. And it's not finished yet. This is not permanent. This is still just moving on to the dream that God gave somebody. Sort of like Caleb, you know. So he got ready to go into the promised land and he said, God, I still want my mountain. I want my mountain. And God said, okay, you can have it. And God's still working here and he's not through. But one thing that I would like to encourage is, just like it was with Joshua and the Israelites when they come to the River Jordan and they got ready to cross and God stopped the river, spread it back. And he said, you get some rocks out of the middle of the river and you carry them to the bank. You get some from the bank and you put them in the river. Because every time your children come by this memorial, they'll ask, what mean ye these stones? You need to be sure that you have enough memorial stones around that everybody that comes will see and say, what does that mean? You've got pictures out here on the wall of Charles Haddon Spurgeon and A.B. Henderson and things of this nature. And those are great men of God. They're great men of God. They need to be honored. But you've also got to remember, you've got great men of God that were here that had faith, that stood behind the pastor. And when he said, you know, I think we need to do this. Everybody didn't say yes. But there was a strong enough faith to move forward. Just like Moses when he was standing on that mountaintop and the valley was filled with the armies and Joshua was down there fighting and the battle was raging. But there had to be an Aaron and a Hur to hold up the arms of Moses to get the job done. Eric would have been a good pastor regardless. He would have been a great pastor with a great vision. But see, God doesn't build a church with just one man. He said it this morning. It's a family. We're living stones in God's building and building and building. Because it takes all of us. It takes all of us. It's fun for us to get up here and preach. Because God's put a fire in our soul to preach. But I tell you what, it takes every one of us to do the nursery, to do the junior church, to do the youth, to do the senior saints, to run the buses, to do everything else. It takes the whole body. That's the reason that God didn't call it a church building. It's a church family joined together to do the work of God. And we're all in Christ. So it's a good thing. It's a great thing. And, you know, you must remember that for those of you that are new, listen to the old stories. Don't say, oh, I've heard that thing before. Yeah, but you should have lived through it. And you'd have known what it means in the heart of every individual. Because there's been some hills. And there's been some mountains. And there's been some valleys. And in all those things, you've got to remember, just keep on listening to the old story. I recommend that you commission some men to build some things. Maybe a duplicate of the old storefront. And inside some things that went on there. Commission them to do these things. Kelly can do two or three things. Not much, but he can do two or three things. And but anyhow, I pick on him because he and I, you know, the group of men, he and I became, I guess, say a little bit closer than the others, you know, because he's so mean, he needed a lot of help, you know, along the way. No, he's done a lot with us in the church in Sherman and things of this nature, and we're thankful for that. Well, I'm going to be through. But just remember, those old days are new days, but they're the miracle days, just like today is. When that one's finished, another miracle. And then where are you going? You're not through because the trumpet hadn't sounded.
Amen. That was 4 minutes. We'll have Brother Hokett if we go ahead and we'll get the offering plates ready. Yes, we're going to take an offering. And I know we had some in the nursery, some in the children's church this morning, give you opportunity to give this morning, this afternoon. And have a part. If you haven't given your anniversary offering, I encourage you to do that. I know a couple of you came to me and said, hey, I'm going to do it next week. And that's awesome. Just have a part in helping with the furnishings next door. Well, Miss Holly is still here, and also Miss Christie and some others who help with all the decorations. You see all the flowers and on your tables next door, all the arrangements. And I appreciate them. They need a hand. I appreciate them so much. I know you know, but some of you don't. You know, you're talking about they've been up here for weeks putting this stuff together. Brother Schuler's been cooking since Tuesday night. And Brother Schuler, the meat was awesome. Amen. Yeah. And again, I know some things get overlooked, but Brother Chad and the staff, I mean, just a lot of work's been done around here. Brother Stan helped a lot, too, the last few weeks. Changing the lights out. We got all the lights working, sort of. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. And just a lot of work outside. I mean, just tons of work that's been done the last 2 or 3 weeks. And we want to take care of God's building. And we've tried to be a good steward of that. So I think we're just about caught up on the building itself. And so appreciate Brother Chad and Brother Wiggins, especially, who put a lot of time and effort in that. Brother Bradshaw, I know some of y'all know who that is, spent some time up here as well. One of our men who's an electrician. I'm going to leave people out, and I'm sorry. I know I will. But just appreciate you. Brother, I'd already mentioned Brother Latta spending a lot of time. The new logo, everybody noticed, hopefully you noticed the new sign out front. Please say you noticed the new sign out front. With the new logo, they finally, after 15 years, tricked me into changing the logo. But everybody liked the new logo? I do. I think it looks sharp. And just a little update. And for the guy who likes the same thing over and over and over again, it was hard for me to do that. All right. Ushers, if you come forward, take up the offering this afternoon, and I hope you have a part in that. And I said appreciate all of our workers so much. I was thinking, you know, with Easter Sunday and this Sunday being so close together, how much work has gone into the last 2 weeks. So I told the staff they could have extra day off this week, and just trying to help them, and just everything else that's gone on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been awesome. And Brother Ratliff is going to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father in heaven above, we so much appreciate the leadership that you've appointed for this church. We thank you for the work that you've done over the past 15 years, and we look forward to the work that will be established in the future for the next 15 years, so what that may bring. We pray that you'll continue to be with the leadership in this church, guide them, direct them, help them through their decisions, their many decisions. We pray that you'll continue to keep us all going strong until that trumpet does sound. We pray that you'll be with this offering. Bless it. Bless the gift and the giver. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Leave out some of the most important people. I appreciate Miss Danya and my wife. I know they get paid. They're here, but I promise you this: last 2 weeks, a lot more hours been put in than yes. I just want to make that clear. A lot more hours. Appreciate Miss Danya. By the way, those two put up with everybody else around here, especially us. Let me tell one story. I'm gonna let them come sing. So, as a kid growing up, I was. 7 or 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, and my mom and dad, 11, 12, 13, that kind of age. Mom and dad, we lived in Bowie, Texas, and my mom and dad would bring us down to the Real Rogers Auditorium to hear Southern gospel music I can't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night, and come up there to the Battle of the Songs, and we've heard groups like the Kingsmen and many others. I mean, there was a group used to call the Singing Americans, and I don't know if they're still around or not, but the Inspirations, and I can name them all. But the Cathedrals became my very favorite as a kid. And my mom and dad had all their records, and then the tapes. I think maybe at one time, maybe some 8 tracks. But anyway, but I remember in the car, man, we'd come home, and that's what we listened to. Every time we got in the car when I was a kid, I don't ever remember getting in my mom and dad's car growing up as a kid, in my dad's truck or my mom's car, and ever listen to anything else than gospel music. Never was rock music put on there, never country music, always gospel music. I was just surrounded by it. And I can tell you, I'm thankful for that. And some of y'all, I get made fun of a little bit because some people here believe I lived a sheltered life. And I have no clue sometimes when... And you know what? I'm glad of that. That's how well my parents did. I think that's a good thing. And so I just want to encourage you. I remember one night the Cathedrals were singing, and I think we concluded you were there. And George Johns was singing John the Revelator. Some of y'all don't know that song, but John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down, talking about John. And he when George Johns would do that, talking about John, he just kept doing it in the microphone, talking about John, John. And he got the whole place shaking. I promise you, the whole auditorium was just vibrating at George Johnson's voice. And I think I was 8 or 9 when that happened. And man, it just, I know that's kind of silly, but just had an impact on me as a kid. And then, like I said, learning all the songs growing up, Canny Cootie Woody and all the songs. I can name them, and most of you have heard me sing a lot of them because I have a tendency to sing them in my sermons, but them and the Johnny Flanagan song. I'm going to sing one Johnny Flanagan song for you. And then we're going to let the quartet come and sing. Out in the West Texas town near New Mexico, I fell in love with a black-headed girl. Her name, it was Tanya, I couldn't pronounce it. Each time I saw her, my head, it would whirl. The cafe was crowded, I sat down beside her. Paid for her coffee with such good intent. I don't drink coffee. It's been so long since I first met this lady, but I'll never forget it. I paid ever since. One day a tall dirt farmer walked in, finest one West Texas man. Told him I wanted to marry his daughter. He said, oh goody, I'll help all I can. At last, here I am up here singing with Tanya beside me, or down here in the front. Hope she don't crown me while I sing the song. Now she is smiling like having a good time. Boy, I'm sure dreading when she gets me home. Her one little fist and its airy goodbye. No, good. All right. That's the way I'm introducing the quartet this afternoon. Come on, Brother Trammell.
Here's the way we're going to work off lunch. Do this right here. Come on.
Pilgrims for Jesus, we are happy and free.
Because we're bound
for regions of everlasting song and story.
Serving Him
truly gives us full victory.
Oh, brother,
leave your sorrows and come and go along. Why should a children of God be sad?
Oh, let us live.
Oh, be glad when things are not bad.
My brother,
leave your sorrow and come along with me.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
nothing could cause us to turn back in the race.
Because we're
bound for regions of everlasting song and story. Jesus abundantly supplies us with grace.
Oh, brother,
leave your sorrow and come and go along. Why should a children of God be sad?
Oh, let us
lift our voices in glad
jubilation.
Oh, be glad for things are not bad.
My brother,
leave your sorrow and come along with me. And why should a children of God be sad?
Oh, let us lift our voices in glad
jubilation. Oh, be glad for things are not bad.
Could see what God can see, our hearts would be amazed. How the sovereign King can look ahead in time, knowing that we choose the path that leads us all astray. Still His heart was moved to pay the price. To know He knows me like He knows me, and to know that He still loves me lets me know that it's a love that is real. The fact He gave me what He gave me when I asked if He would save me tells me He was still a promise fulfilled. To know He did when He didn't have to do what He did shows the heart of His compassion and grace. And since He knows me like He knows me, and He saved me like He saved me, lets me know His love's a love that's here to stay.
Now there are days I still have doubts that His love is true, and at times I start to question if He's there. Then I'm reminded of the countless times He's brought me safely through. No greater love could I find anywhere.
To know He knows me like He knows me, and to know that He still loves me lets me know that it's a love that is real. The fact He gave me what He gave me when I asked if He would save me tells me He will still a promise fulfill. To know He did when He didn't have to do what He did shows the heart of His compassion and grace. And since He knows me like He knows me, and He saved me like He saved me, lets me know His love's a love that's here to stay. To know He knows me like He knows me, and to know that He still loves me, lets me know that it's a love that is real. The fact He gave me what He gave me when I asked if He would save me tells me He will still a promise fulfill. To know He did when He didn't have to do what He did shows the heart of His compassion and grace. And since He knows me like He knows me, and He saved me like He saved me, lets me know His love's a love that's here to stay. And since He knows me like He knows me, and He saved me like He saved me, lets me know His love's a love
that's here to stay.
Save me like He saved me, and He lets me know that Jesus' love is real and here to stay. Jesus told His faithful disciples, meet me over on the other side. I will meet you in the waters you have crossed. But in the midst of stormy sailing, what do we do? They fearfully cried. Out of the darkness came His answer. Meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging water, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. The waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, lead me over on the other side. God's still speaking to His children, meet me over on the other side. Though the storms of life are many, we'll reach our goal. He is watching for the storm cloud, He will be our Savior and guide. Can't you hear Him gently beckon? Meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. The waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, meet me over on the other side. Well, do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. Well, the waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide.
Be not afraid of the tossing billows.
I want you to listen to Randy as he sings one of my favorite songs. And he doesn't do this very often, but I just thoroughly enjoy the message. It says very simply, I thirst.
One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. Now there's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne. And like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me. I thirst, yet he the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. La, I thirst, cried the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water to me.
Song. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord for it. I y'all just hang on a minute. I need to talk to the pastor just a minute. Did you say you were 8 or 9 when you went to the Will Rogers Auditorium the first time? Okay. I didn't realize I'd gotten as old as I am. But I want to see how well your memory is. There's a song that I recorded with the Cathedrals in about 83 or 84 on a project that, in fact, this was, I give God the glory for it, but they talk about the fact, the history writers talk about the fact, this was the first number one radio song that I was a part of, that I sang on. And that don't do anything for me. I mean, you know, $2 and you get some coffee. And that story at the McDonald's. But it's funny how God has used the strangest of things to bless people's lives. And I just want to see if you remember. Just see if you... remember this song. Now the music, back in those days especially, you probably wouldn't have heard this in church. But the story's good, listen. Jesus was a carpenter a long time ago. Joseph taught him all the things he needed to know. He grew up straight and strong, working on the shores of Galilee. You remember it? He learned to use a hammer and he learned to drive a nail. And when he started building, it served him mighty well. 'Cause he started on a building that stretched from sky to sky and sea to sea.
Jesus is the master builder. He built his church upon a rock. He built it on a firm foundation, and the work will never stop. He's a master builder. He takes the old and makes it new. He can take a life of sin, make it clean and pure again.
And he can make a brand new you.
Yes, he can.
Back in heaven and he's building once again. He's working on a city called the New Jerusalem. It sits on 12 foundations according to the master builder's plan. The streets are lined with mansions for the saints to move right in. And when he's finished building, he'll come back again to take us to that city fashioned by the master builder's hand.
Builder. He built his church upon the rock. He built it on a firm foundation, and the work will never stop. Jesus is the master builder. He takes the old and makes it new. He can take a life of sin, make it clean and pure again.
He can make a friend to you.
Oh, Jesus is the master builder. He built his church upon the rock. He built it on a firm foundation, and the work will never stop.
No, it ain't ever gonna stop.
Jesus is the master builder. He takes the old and makes it new. He can make a life of sin, make it clean and pure again.
He can make a brand new you. And he can make a brand new you.
Jesus is the master builder.
Saints on the holy mountain shouting out the victory. He'll lead his army in the last great battle and tread the devil under his feet.
And the king will rule all the nations. Then from the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem,
he'll be the Messiah with his chosen people at home in the promised land.
And the saints will be Savior's side.
All the people of God will be glorified. Troubles and trials will all be gone when the King comes to claim his throne.
Yeah, it's going to happen one day, amen.
We will live in peace for 1,000 years and the prophecies will all come true. There a lion will play with a lamb one day, and the desert like a rose will bloom.
Satan will be bound at the King's commandments, and we will sing the victory song. All the world will bow to the Lord and Christ when the King comes to claim His throne. And the King will rule over nations, and from the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, He'll be Messiah with His chosen people and home in the promised land. Savior's side, all the people of God will be glorified. Troubles and trials will all be gone when the King comes to claim His throne.
And the King
will rule all the nations, and from the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, He'll be Messiah with His chosen people, and bold in the promised land. And the saints will be at the Savior's side, all the people of God will be glorified. Troubles and trials will all be gone when the King of the claim is
laid. His throne
will all be
gone.
Claim His
throne. His throne
will all be gone.
With His chosen people at home in the promised land. And the saints will be at the Savior's side. All the people of God will be glorified. Troubles and trials will all be gone
when the King comes to claim His throne.
Claim His throne. When His chosen people have home in the promised land. And the saints will be at the Savior's side. All the people of God will be glorified. Troubles and trials will all be gone when the King comes to claim His throne. Troubles and trials will all be gone, gone, gone. He'll claim His throne
when the King comes to claim His throne.
When the King comes to claim His throne.
Yes, amen. He's got it. Praise the Lord.
If you like the old hymn to the church, you'll enjoy this song.
Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. The healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Be Thou still my strength and shield. The verge of Jordan in my anxious fears of night. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan
inside. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever
praise the Lord. There's a song that I want us to do that's on our next to latest project. And for those of you who weren't here last night, this particular song came to us by a gentleman by the name of Rodney Griffin, who sings with a group called Greater Vision. In fact, he took my place when I left that organization to go into another ministry. And Rodney has now been with that group for 23 years. And is Gospel Music Songwriter of the Year for 16 years in a row. Now, he will look you right in the eyes, just plain old, ordinary, independent Baptist boy from up in Kentucky. And he'll look at you and say, I have no idea how all this has happened. It's just God and his blessing in my life. And that's literally what it is. And it just thrills me that a man of God like that is known far and wide for what God has allowed to come into his heart and out of his heart through the pen and to your ears. It just amazes me, that process and how it works. But this particular song is one of those songs that it's not a serious song. It's not a big ballad. It's a lot of fun. The music's a lot of fun to listen to, easy on the ears. The message is got a good rhythm feel to it. But, boy, the power of the message will punch you right in the nose. And the people come up with this particular song's been out, Pastor, now for about a year, a little over a year. And it's done very well for us on Gospel Music Radio across the country. And people have embraced the message in the song, and they'll come to our table and they'll ask for it. But they never ask for it by its name, its proper name. They'll say all kinds of stuff, but they never get it right. And I don't laugh at them, I laugh with them, because it's not easy to say the title of the song because it's not short. The title is Your Walk Talks and Your Talk Talks, but Your Walk Talks Louder Than Your Talk Talks. Try to write all that down on one line. It just don't work. Now, if you like that particular phrase, you'll love the rest of the song. Here it comes.
There's an account we read about the Pharisees in the Bible days way back when. How they criticized the Lord Jesus Christ for eating with sinful men. Jesus turned to say, love is the only way, so let your actions speak louder than your words. Though the years have passed, this truth will last, a lesson that we all should learn. You know your walk talks and your talk talks,
but you walk talks louder than you talk talks.
Your behavior towards your neighbor tells really how you feel about the Savior. When you exemplify and shine the light of Christ, you know the number in the kingdom will be multiplied. Yes, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Walk talks.
What did you do today to give your love away to a lost and hurting soul? Did you lend a hand to your fellow man and help him on down the road? When we illuminate, we chase the dark away, so let your little light shine. When we follow through with what we say and do, the Father will be glorified. You know your walk talks and your talk talks,
but you walk talks louder than you talk talks.
Your behavior towards your neighbor tells really how you feel about the Savior. When you exemplify and shine the light of Christ, you know the number in the kingdom will be multiplied. Yes, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Do those things that Christ would do, be loving, kind, and caring. Preach the gospel to all men, use words when necessary.
You know your walk talks, and your talk talks,
but you all talk louder than you talk talks.
Your behavior towards your neighbor tells really how you feel about the Savior. When you exemplify and shine the light of Christ, you know the number in the kingdom will be multiplied. Yes, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Oh, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Yes, your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too.
They're gonna bury more than my body when I leave this world behind. All the troubles of life, temptation and strife will finally lay down and die. Those earthly things can't hurt me then. I'll be moving on home when the Lord says when. It comforts me to know that I know what'll be with me when I go.
And I'll take it to the grave
and into that grave beyond where heaven's waiting. The promise that I'll enter in and stand in the presence of God. Sweet hope of the resurrection and assurance that I'm saved. Though the devil in the world can steal it from me, I'll take it to the grave.
There'll never be a cause for weeping when the old sin nature is dead. Cause struggles and stress will be laid to rest, and my heart never break again. Folks say you can't take things with you, but God's word tells me it can't be true. The joy and peace Christ gave to me will be mine for eternity.
And I'll take it to the grave and into that grave beyond where heaven's waiting. The promise that I'll enter in and stand in the presence of God. Sweet hope of the resurrection and assurance that I'm saved. Though the devil and the world can steal it from me, I'll take it to the grave. So when I go, no need to wonder,
I'll be doing all right.
I'll be dead 6 feet under and have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I'll take it to the grave and into that grave beyond where heaven's waiting. The promise that I'll enter in and stand in the presence of God. Sweet hope of the resurrection and assurance that I'm saved. No, the devil and the world can steal it from me. I'll take it to the grave. No, the devil and the world can steal it from me.
I'll take it to the grave.
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 I'll take it to the grave. No, the devil and the world can steal it from me. I'll take it to the grave. To the grave and into that grave beyond where heaven's waiting. The promise that I'll enter in and stand in the presence of God. Sweet hope of the resurrection and assurance that I'm saved. No, the devil in the world can steal it from me.
I'll take it to the grave.
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 I'll take it to the grave. No, the devil and the world can steal it from me. I'll take it to the grave. Take it to the grave.
Amen.
I love the message in that song. The devil and the world cannot steal those things from me that I can actually take to the grave and on to glory with me. I just stop by the grave and keep right on going with it. My dad pastored for 52 years, and those guys in those days preached messages, and they would always talk about the reality in life that you'll never see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Just ain't going to happen. This stuff that's here is going to stay right here. Carnal flesh, everything you have amassed, going to stay right here. I agree with every bit of that. But there are things we are going to take with us if we're a born-again child of God. Peace, contentment, finished work at Calvary being sufficient for us getting into glory. Those things we're going to take with us from here to the grave, from the grave right on through the pearly gates. That's how we get there. There's things we're taking with us. And I thank God for them. I'd hate to show up at the pearly gates and not know why I was there. I would. St. Peter standing there. Say, you can't prove this is going to happen. Well, you can't prove it ain't. Standing there taking names. That's what one old preacher said. He's just going to stand there and check your name off as you walk through the gate. Now, how would you like to get there? And when you get there, you're looking at him. He's looking at you like, who are you? What are you doing here? And you're telling him, hey, I got on my knees and I said some words with my lips when I was 8 years old. And that's the reason I'm standing here. You're supposed to let me in. But I don't see your name. Did you mean with your heart what you said with your lips? Oh. Well, I didn't know I had to do that. I thought I just had to claim it. No, this is not the name it and claim it game, son. This is heaven. In order for you to get in here, there are certain requirements. You have to have full knowledge. You have to be convinced in your own heart. By faith, you have been saved. Your name's going to be in here. And you know, that old preacher, I thought, when I heard that when I was a kid, I thought that old preacher lost his mind. Because the first thing I thought of is I as a kid, no more than I knew about Scripture, I had no idea where he was going with that. You can't pull that out of the Bible anywhere. And boy, was I wrong about that. Yes, you can. There's going to come a day in every life represented in this room where you're going to stand before God and give account of what you've done. And you're going to hear one of two things. That's it. One of two. You will either hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Or you're going to hear the sweetest words that you'll ever hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to finish well. 41 years I've stood on platforms across the world and told people about Jesus through this medium of music, singing songs, trying to get their attention. And old, as hard-headed old Baptist as I am, the word entertainment sometimes is a cuss word to me, but I will tell you this, I've never seen a preacher that was worth his salt stand behind a sacred desk and not get you to smile a little bit before he got to the meat of his message. And we got enough to frown about when we walk out those doors. So if something in what we do brings a smile to your face or reminds you of when the Lord touched your life in a special way, then we've done our job. And I thank God for all 41 of those years that I've done what I've done. Because of people just like you. My investment has been one of love and one of joy. I've had fun doing what I do. I don't have to go to work. I get to go to work. Not a lot of people can say that. And I understand that. But I've watched all this take place today. And 15 years in this particular location. And the work of these people, and I've enjoyed watching all of this take place, especially being a Baptist preacher's kid. I told the pastor's wife a while ago, I said, that some of this stuff, I just really enjoy watching because I wonder what's going to happen next. And when that man jumped up in the preacher's arms today, That's the kind of stuff I grew up on right there. You're not supposed to do that in church. This is God's house. Get a life. There's joy in serving Jesus.
Yes, there is. Amen.
There truly is. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to smile. God made us to where it's easier to smile. There's less muscles necessary in your face to be used to smile. It takes more to frown than it does to smile. So why not smile? If we don't make it home and we know Jesus is our Savior, we're going to our home, as my dad used to say. That's enough to smile about and leave all of this garbage behind. That was a really good spot for a good old-fashioned amen right there. He said, where are you going with all of this? Here's where I'm going. And we're going to be finished. We love you. And we've enjoyed our time with you. And I want you to use today in your hearts and in your minds, in your lives. I want you to use today as that day that is nothing more than a milepost. Starting tomorrow, you can turn around and look. The blessings of God and how far you've come. But don't sit down. It's not time to sit down. It's time to encourage people. It's time to remind people the value of loving the Lamb of Glory and all that He's done. Allowing us to love those with a pure love that the world seems to know nothing about anymore. We can still show them God's unconditional love. You say, how is that? You love people in spite of what they are, not because of what they are. Let's go back to talking to people instead of talking at people. It's a big difference. Jesus was speaking to those that he loved at a very critical moment in history. And he made a statement that you've heard at a lot of funerals. The statement goes like this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. Did you notice the scripture right there? Now, in my Bible, the scripture does not say, I'm going to think about coming back. Not even in the original text does it allude to that possibility. I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And great theologians have argued, as long as I can remember anything about theology, great theologians have argued even before any of us in this room were born. What is this? Where is Jesus going to be? Where is heaven? Where is God? And I want to say something to you today. In as genuine a love as I can muster from my heart today, it don't matter where it is. If God's there and Jesus is there, it'll be heaven. Wherever they are is going to be heaven. We can argue about it after we get there. Let's just get there first. Loving the Lamb of Glory is what will change our world. Listen.
To holy.
but I felt the presence of another with me. Satan was trying to light the lamp. He failed to stop the death of I am. He can hold back the coming of my King, and He cannot keep me from storm. Satan is trying to tell me it's over. Why should I go on? But the darker the storm, the more I see Jesus, and the stronger my love grows. This sign of hope, He failed to stop the birth of the baby. He would love to have stopped the death of
singer doesn't turn red somewhere inside of a song, you know, something wasn't right. But when the baritone turns red, that you've gone to a whole nother level. That was awesome. I'm glad he couldn't stop it. Amen. That's awesome. Great songs. And yes, Jesus was a carpenter a long time ago. I could sing every word to it. It's amazing, and the church knows it. some of those childhood songs just stick there, and I can't, it's, they're frozen. And I just, I'm, again, thankful for good, godly music. Brother Trammell, thank you. You guys have been awesome. And, amen, it's good. All right. Let's turn the lights back on, and we'll all stand. Anything else I'm forgetting? Let's all stand, be dismissed. Don't forget your dishes. Don't forget to buy some CDs. Courage, anything else, Brother Wiggins? All right. I think Brother Roy Reed, is this working? Right. Have Brother Reed come up, and if we turn it on, we'll look back, do whatever. No, go ahead and turn us off. Sorry. It might blow up in their sound system if we're not careful. All right. Appreciate Brother Reed, Brother Day. I could go lots of names I could use, and appreciate Brother Reed and his faithfulness to our church and the families. What a blessing. 15 years. I'm looking forward to another 15 years. My wife says it's time to go. Look at her. You just Brother Clark doing this. It's only 15 till 3. This is awesome. Member, no evening service. Miss Biddle wants to stay. Look at her. Biddle? No. All right. Dismiss.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand here today, Lord, celebrating 15 years, Lord. Lord, 15 years, not what we've done, but what you've done for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the faith that we can do another 15 years. Lord, keep us strong in the faith. Lord, keep us boldly preaching your word. We ask, Heavenly Father, you be with the quartet as they travel. Lord, let them spread your word even more. Lord, that you just travel with them, keep them safe and strong. We pray, Heavenly Father, your blessings upon all of our family. We thank you what you've given us. And Lord, we just ask, Heavenly Father, you continue to bless. We'll give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.